This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Happy hump day. It is indeed Wednesday, April 8th. Good to have you back. After the news, we'll hear an interview on managing stress and trauma during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many companies are adapting to keep essential workers safe, and that's including Starbucks now. They began requiring all employees to wear non-medical masks to work yesterday. The coffee shop said in a statement that they've provided employees with a tutorial to make their own non-medical facial covering with supplies available in stores if employees don't have one of their own. They also plan on sourcing some masks as well as making thermometers available at all stores. Everyone is looking forward to the other side of the COVID-19 pandemic, but how will we know when it is safe to resume life as we knew it before? Radio MD's Scott Webb has more on what our futures may look like.
So will the heat of summer kill or slow the coronavirus? Researchers at MIT have released a study that found most coronavirus transmissions had occurred in regions with low temperatures between 37 and 62 degrees Fahrenheit, and places currently in the middle of summer in the southern hemisphere with average temperatures above 64 degrees Fahrenheit account for fewer than 6% of global cases so far. Good news, right? Well, not so fast. Kasim Bukhari, a computational scientist at MIT, who is a co-author of the study, says because high humidity and heat only align perfectly during mainly July and August in some parts of the northern hemisphere, he says the effects of warmer weather on reducing transmissions might only last for a brief period of time, meaning come fall, we might see the virus come roaring back. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
As the United States is starting to wake up to spring, many are wondering if these warmer temperatures will do anything to curb the spread of COVID-19. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more on that.
According to a recent American Enterprise Institute report, there are criteria for knowing when areas of the country will be able to lift their stay-at-home mandates. These include hospitals being able to treat all patients requiring hospitalization without being in crisis mode, states having enough tests for everyone who has symptoms, being able to monitor all confirmed cases, and a sustained reduction in cases for at least 14 days. For now, stay at home, social distancing, hand washing, and wearing masks when you have to be in public remains in place. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
For some, quarantine has been a time of rest, self-care, and plenty of family time. But for others, the idea of staying home and laying low isn't as enticing. Dr. Colleen Sierra is a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in women and trauma and talked to us about managing stress and dealing with trauma during these difficult times.
So, Dr. Sierra, what are some of the issues that you see coming up for people who are being asked to quarantine or shelter in, just spending kind of a lot of this alone time?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it really depends on who we're talking about, right? And it tends to skew to one extreme or the other. Mm. I think there are a lot of people who are living alone and certainly really feeling that isolation now more than ever. And that comes with a certain set of challenges. But then I think there's a lot of other people like myself who are living with a partner, living with children, and feeling like we never get alone time. And really, really craving some more of that just feels very, very difficult to get. So I think those are a couple of the big things happening. And then I think another different point of differentiation is folks who are home and not working, either because they're still getting paid, best case scenario, but there's nothing for them to do, or they've been laid off. I think they're experiencing a lot of boredom and a lack of motivation. Versus those of us who are working from home and feeling very overwhelmed trying to figure out how that works, especially if we're also trying to take care of children at the same time. So I think those are four of the biggest issues coming up that I'm seeing.
So how can people who are struggling with this idea of staying at home manage this for the time being?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. We're used to depending on external systems and realities to give us the structure that most of us really crave and need. And that's all been taken away. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things we can really do is create new structure. And so it's going to look very different than our old routines, but we can create new ones. So for instance, creating a morning and an evening ritual, how do we start our day? So for me, that's drinking a huge glass of water, taking some medicine, and then making coffee and feeding my kids breakfast. That's something I know those are the first things I'm going to do every morning. For those of us who are working from home, creating a workday startup and a workday shutdown ritual so that work doesn't bleed into every aspect of our life. You know, so again, for me, eventually, I would like to get back to clearing out my email inbox, checking and responding to all of my Slacks, and sitting down and looking at my day and really prepping for what's happening today and creating some goals around what I'd like to get done. That's what I used to do. I haven't yet been able to implement that. But I think those are creating some new structure is one of the ways that we can kind of manage being stuck at home. So I think another thing that is really helpful is, you know, we are all kind of, I think, worst case scenario, grieving. Best case scenario, we're frustrated by needing to cancel all of these things in our life and on our calendar that we were looking forward to. So putting new things in the calendar that we can look forward to, you know, nothing is going to replace seeing a family member walk across the stage at a university, but we can put coffee and or wine dates, you know, on the calendar with friends. We can do a Google Hangout or Zoom game night with friends. We can take a social distance walk with our family. That's something that my family has been doing every day that I know we all really look forward to. We walk to Dunkin' Donuts, the kids get a donut, the parents get coffee, and we take a walk around our neighborhood. That's become a part of our routine. Special meals or new recipes to try. I think it's really important to replace some of the things that we've needed to lose and let go of with other things that bring us joy that we can also look forward to. So that's one of the things. And I think another thing that's been really helpful for me is finding ways to differentiate between the working days and the non-working days, or the work week versus the weekend, and really treating those things differently. It's tempting to stay up late every night and sleep in every morning and have a very lax routine, but it's not great for our well-being. Perhaps, you know, we allow ourselves to sleep in on the weekends, but we set an alarm during the week. We maybe get ready during the week. We put on makeup, we do our hair, we put on nicer clothes. And then on the weekends, we maybe don't brush our teeth and stay in sweatpants all day. I think really differentiating between, okay, these are the days that I'm going to work or be productive or get things done. And then I'm going to allow for some days where I'm not going to work and I can watch more Netflix than I typically do. But if we start doing those kinds of things all the time, that can lead to a bad vicious cycle in terms of our mood.
So you specialize in women's health and trauma. Would this pandemic be considered a traumatic event? And what exactly does that mean?
Yes, absolutely. So I think this, which is not to say that this is a trauma for everyone, for some very privileged folks who get to do their job from home, they're getting paid the same, they're not at risk of losing their job. Perhaps they don't have children or elderly folks to worry about, you know. This doesn't have to be traumatic, but it absolutely does have the potential to be traumatic for all sorts of different reasons. I think if you're in a high risk group, if you're over the age of 60 or you have underlying medical conditions, this might be a scary time. If you have friends or family who are considered high risk, if you or someone you love is a healthcare provider and on the front lines of this virus, I think that can be incredibly traumatizing. If you've already experienced trauma, so you're extra sensitive to the utter lack of predictability and control that we're all experiencing, I think that can be especially triggering. If you live with someone who is abusive to you or your children, this is a very challenging time. So these are just several groups of people who I feel like might very well be experiencing this time as traumatic, which the definition that I use for that is it overwhelms our ability to cope. We feel helpless. We feel hopeless in the face of so much scary stuff, and it overwhelms our ability to cope.
And so, you know, as these shutdowns continue, they're triggering so many other stressors, whether it's money issues, that security and normalcy we're used to. How can someone keep from spiraling when it just feels like so much is happening all at once?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's challenging. You know, I'm a psychologist talking to you about these things, and I'm struggling to do these things as well. So,
right, I know.
Yeah, so you can know all the stuff you should be doing, and it doesn't make it any less challenging to actually do it when there is so much going on. So I think the first rule of thumb is to be really kind to yourself and to other people. When we are experiencing this level of stress and adversity, our patience grows very thin. And that's true for how we treat ourselves and how we treat other people. So to just offer ourselves a whole lot of grace, a whole lot of patience, and to do that for other people, I think is probably the number one thing we should be doing. So lots of love for ourselves and others. Second thing that is important is to really control what you can. When so much is feeling out of our control, we tend to focus on that stuff. We get angry when we see people who are wearing masks or not wearing masks, or families who are playing on playgrounds, and what the hell is wrong with these people? And we try to control other people and situations that are outside of us, when instead what we should be focusing on is what's inside. So what we can control, again, is our schedule, our routine. Come up with the weekday and weekend schedule. Make a list of activities that you can do for yourself or with your children when you're feeling bored or restless or people are feeling irritable. That can be a sign that, you know, we're not stimulated enough. If money is a concern, create a budget. Again, instead of avoiding that and perhaps, you know, avoiding it entirely and not spending a cent, or avoiding it through the other way and making lots of impulsive purchases, because it's a way to soothe our anxiety. Create a budget and really stick with it. So lean into the discomfort and control what you can. Another thing that I think is very important is to work through emotions, again, rather than avoid them. I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed, and instead of dealing with the overwhelm, we just go in the kitchen and look for something to eat. I think working through emotions is important, and we can do this in a few ways. The first, although it sounds basic, is let yourself feel. Most of us, when we have the urge to cry or we have the urge to yell, we stifle it. We don't let ourselves cry, or we lash out at the wrong person. You know, so if you feel like crying, let yourself cry. If you feel like yelling, go in your room and yell. We don't have to yell at our partners or our children, but it's important to, you know, to actually let some of that stuff out. And there's all these lovely ways we can do that. We can paint, we can talk with our partner, we can call or video chat with a friend, we can journal or write, we can exercise. There's all these ways to let the emotional energy move through us, rather than avoid it and distract ourselves with food or substances or TV or whatever it is.
And Easter is just around the corner, but have no fear. In New Zealand, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced that the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy are considered essential workers. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to reach out to us with what you think we should be covering, or someone we should talk to, email us at covid19daily@radiomd.com. That's covid19daily@radiomd.com. We'll be back Thursday and every weekday as long as this crisis is happening. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.